This is the Cherry Leaf Podcast.
Mad World Europe is your best learning and professional development opportunity of the year. The conference debuts this September in Prague, Czech Republic, and features industry thought leaders from organizations such as Visa, Nestle, and TCOM. Full schedule and event details can be found at www.madcapsoftware.com.
Welcome to the Cherry Leaf Podcast. I'm Ellis Pratt, and I've been asked recently to write an article for the Institute of Scientific and Technical Communicators journal called Communicator, on future trends in technical communication. It's to do with the special supplement that they're planning towards the end of the year. Now, we did look at future trends back in November. So for this article, because it was related to the 70th anniversary of the ISTC, I decided to look at what the long distance future might be, to look further out into the distance. And that's what we'll cover in this particular episode. We'll look at some of the topics and issues that you'll find in that article. It's well worth joining the ISTC. It only costs, I think, £108 solely for the journal. It's got some excellent articles in there. It is possible for people outside of the UK to subscribe to the Communicator only, but it's a very good source of information if you're interested in becoming a better technical communicator. What I'll do is I'll add some asides to the content that's in the article. And it's always useful to get your thoughts on what you think. There's still a little bit of time before the article is published, so there might be some time to tweak the copy if you come up with any thoughts or ideas, the stuff that should go into this article. And this was a collaborative effort. I got some content or feedback internally within Cherry Leaf, but I also posted it up on LinkedIn and Twitter, asked people for their opinions on where they saw the future of technical communication going, and also in the ISTC discussion forum. And some of the feedback and information that came from that is included in this article. So here we go. What does the future hold for technical communication? Each year, Cherry Leaf is one of the companies in technical communication that makes predictions for the upcoming 12 months. In this article, or in this podcast as it happens, I plan to look further into the future to see what the future holds for technical communication. One thing that's been in the back of my mind is, of course, that the further you look out into the future, the sillier your predictions can look like in hindsight. For example, in 1969, BBC science presenter James Burke predicted on Tomorrow's World the office of the future.
What nice people. Ah, my office. The perfect office. Perspex desk. No in tray, no out tray, no phone, no filing cabinets, no clutter. Quiet. Cool. Very efficient. I need never get out of this chair. That'll be nice. No distractions. Just me and the work. Alone and efficient. Alone. Wonder if anybody wants me. Nobody to ask.
Messages.
Well, BJ39 will know. After all, it works for me. I don't even have to go to it. Much better than a human being. Tireless and efficient. Anything I want, it brings.
Letter.
Funny how fast you get down to work when you're alone. I mean, really alone.
Take a letter, Miss Smith, to Mr. Charles Durrant.
I'm an automated executive. Even the coffee's automatic. The great thing about machines is that they do what they're told. They leave you to get on with it.
He got a lot of things right, such as the proliferation of computers. However, he couldn't imagine an office where managers would do their own typing. Hopefully, in this episode and in this podcast, I won't make the same type of mistake. Let's start by looking at what's likely to stay the same. And the predictions are based on some assumptions. The first assumption is that Users, people, are still going to get stuck at times when they're using a product or a service. We're not going to get to a world where every product is so easy to use that no one ever gets stuck. One of the reasons for this is because you then end up with products which are very hard to differentiate between each other. You end up, in many ways, with products becoming commodities. And technology is just not like that. It just doesn't happen that way. We always want to add things into a product, and some of those new things aren't necessarily familiar to end users. The second assumption is that many of those users will want to know how to get unstuck and complete a task by reading text. We won't move completely to video or audio or some format like that. And the third assumption is that any voice-based instructions will be based on a source text that's been written by a human. So that would include chatbot content as well. But that will probably have been generated, written, the text itself, by a human at some point. So who will do the work in terms of creating user assistance and in which formats it will appear? Well, that's hard to predict. So let's start with the predictions. And the first one is to look at a trend from multi-channel to omni-channel. I recently had the battery in my laptop replaced at the Apple Store in Kingston-upon-Thames. And this involved booking a service on the Apple website, receiving a phone call from a support representative in Ireland, and then receiving an email confirming my appointment at the Genius Bar at the Apple Store. When I arrived at the Apple Store, I told one of the staff my name, and they retrieved my details on their iPad, checked I'd taken a backup of my hard drive, double-checked that the battery did actually need replacing, and then they took the laptop off me. A few days later, I received an email and a telephone call saying my laptop was ready for collection. And I booked a pickup time on the Apple website, and on that day and on that time, I went to the store. And again, I told one of the staff at the Apple store my name, and they told me to sit down. A few minutes later, they came out with my laptop, took my credit card details so that I could pay for it. And when I got home, in my inbox was an email with a copy of the invoice for that replacement battery. Overall, the whole process was relatively seamless and free of frustration. And the reason for this was because Apple has created a process where I can interact with them through one channel and then continue the process using another channel. So I was switching from web to telephone to face-to-face. And in a similar way, you can listen to a book as an audiobook on a morning run, come home, and your Kindle will pick up where you've left off. Content is presented using the most suitable mode for their interaction with the user. So it's switching from audio to being able to read it by text seamlessly. And in a similar way, I can start watching a Netflix show on my mobile phone, switch to watching it on my TV, and it will continue the program from the point where I was watching it. So the point of describing these is to show that customer journeys have become less linear and are becoming more dispersed. And this means that people will be consuming content across multiple devices and platforms, both sequentially and simultaneously. And that activity is what's meant by omnichannel. According to Nozabina, adaptive omnichannel content modeling is the next area that we need to be focusing on. That's an interdisciplinary world-bridging role. It takes over where multi-channel leaves off, and it makes us think about customer journeys not within various channels, but across channels. Users are on a single journey where they're using a range of devices to reach their goal. As they move through this journey from device to device, we as technical communicators need to deliver them content optimized to the reading device that they're using and to the context in which they're consuming that information. This means that content that is personalized and content that's contextually aware. So organizations will have to create contextually appropriate and seamless experiences by understanding the full user journey and considering how the different channels support each other. Heinz Wittenbrink coordinator of the Master's Programme in Content Strategy at FH Johannium in Graz, Austria, has recently written an article proposing that content strategy should be seen as part of a wider discipline or practice, that of service design, and specifically that it's service design with content. And perhaps the move towards omnichannel shows that we as technical communicators and as a practice should be seeing technical communication as part of service design as well. Heinz wrote, service design is the design and control of processes where users are taught a value across multiple touch points and where a distinction can be made between a front end and a back end to support these processes. This also means content will need to be adaptive, structured and semantically marked up so that it's machine readable and ready to be reused in different situations. It can't be contained within one set of documentation. And according to Erica Hall, content will need to provide actionable meaning, which we do through language. We need to deliver experiences rather than documents. This means there will need to be data interchange between departments such as marketing and technical publications. Sarah O'Keefe of Scriptorium has called this shared pipes. Mark Baker of Analecta has called this multi-sourcing. In fact, he said we can bridge and integrate specialities without destroying them. At Cherryleaf, we tend to use the term data interchange. Before we move on, let's take a short commercial break.
Madcap Flare offers cutting-edge technical authoring and publishing capabilities for today's technical writers and content developers, with advanced features to maximize authoring efficiency, content reuse, and multi-channel publishing. By combining Madcap Central's cloud-based collaboration, publishing, and content management functionality, authors can improve content quality, gain greater insight into tasks and production schedules, work collaboratively with teams, host content, and automate processes. Madcap Flare and Madcap Central, combining the power of desktop authoring with cloud-based collaboration, publishing, and content management. Learn more at www.madcapsoftware.com.
Welcome back. Another prediction is augmented and mixed reality. And for hardware, we're likely to see users following instructions through augmented and mixed reality. One of the people who shared their thoughts on this topic with me was Sean Reed. And he said, I primarily work in manufacturing and engineering environments delivering content. This content has always mostly been PDF outputs, and the industry is a little late to the party with delivering online and interactive content. I have noticed a trend over the past year or two where a newer generation of service engineers and end users are wanting more intuitive ways to interact with content. And a couple of the people also talked about the Internet of Things. The Internet of Things enables service engineers to diagnose problems before they occur and remotely. And Sean also said, adapting content to be delivered in this way is possibly one of the biggest changes I can see coming in the future of engineering. So we haven't described what augmented reality is. Augmented reality overlays digital content onto the real world. So one example, which we've mentioned in the Cherryleaf newsletter in the past, one example is the ThyssenKrupp use of Microsoft HoloLens to guide lift or elevator engineers as they work on maintaining lifts installed at various sites. And there's a video and an article that we provide a link to in our article on the future from, I think it's Microsoft, it might be ThyssenKrupp, talking about the proof of concept that they've done. There's a quotation from Simon Feisman, head of product lifecycle management at ThyssenKrupp, and he said that incorporating the HoloLens into the manufacturing could make the maintenance process up to 4 times faster than before. Now, of course, that goes against, to an extent, my second assumption that people will carry on preferring reading text. So we might see a differentiation between people's preference for physical items and software. We'll have to see. And linked with the Internet of Things is cybersecurity. The Internet of Things is complex, it's diverse. The things require connectivity. That can be through smartphones or connected devices in cars and homes and offices and cities, of course. And for the Internet of Things and elsewhere, cybersecurity is going to grow in importance, is growing in importance. It's an area where technical communicators are now becoming more involved, especially with regard to security critical banking applications and mobile apps. And security is complex, whether you're explaining it to a non-technical audience or if you're explaining it to developers. Technical communicators are likely to need to be more and more aware about and knowledgeable about the platform-specific security technologies and the challenges that can occur, i.e. the types of attack that might happen. And as more apps become available and as attacks become more and more sophisticated, this need to have expertise in that area is likely to grow. Now, this could be an assumption, this is an assertion, but one of the things that we believe is that writing clearly will still be difficult for most people to do, to achieve. We're not taught it at school. Children are taught essays, they're taught narratives, they're taught how to tell stories or justify an opinion, rhetoric as it were. They write in a way where you build up slowly to a big conclusion at the end. And there's little sign that students at secondary school will be taught technical writing skills. And those skills are different. We order things in a different way. Now, having said that, some content will be conversational. And we've already seen the move towards more conversational content with help web pages that act partly as marketing material, chatbots, and voice-driven devices. And as systems become more able to preempt problems, the opportunities to be more conversational grow. For example, SAP now checks to see if users are dwelling on certain screens within an application and then provides help, to guidance, almost training as it were. And Amazon has issued a patent for a voice sniffer algorithm. And that will enable devices such as Alexa to listen for trigger words from your private conversations. So in those situations, writers can be more conversational. If somebody has got to the point where they're stuck and frustrated, however, there still will be the need, still the best practice to stick to the tried and tested tone for technical communication, the minimalism approach, task-orientated, authoritative, follow this, solve your problem, carry on. Now, the Internet of Things and cybersecurity and Alexa, this may mean that technical communicators will also have to be aware of and consider privacy issues. And somebody else who commented, Craig White, pondered the question, will there be a backlash against this type of thing, about this impact on the privacy of people? Will there be privacy laws that come in that might restrict how personalised we can be with our content, how able we are to preempt people getting stuck? And this may be something that technical communicators have to look at more closely, may have to liaise with legal departments to address and get right. Within the area of writing, we may also see more frameworks or content models for writing content. Rachel Lovinger has written that the content model is the place where you capture the structure that will inform the way your content's assembled, reconfigured and reused. According to Mark Baker, writers will be given a framework of headings or sections for them to complete. And these may be generated algorithmically by machines, they might be part of a schema or an in-house style. And one benefit of this type of approach is it may help the writers get over this issue of writer's block, that they'll be guided more through the writing process. And this may also make it easier to interchange data between departments and present content in different ways. The move towards omnichannel experience means our content will need to be both designed to be read and also to be designed to be interacted with by machines. This is something we've looked at in other episodes in terms of documentation as an API. So one question is, will we move from fixing problems to assisting users through their decision making? Will we move to performance support? And two of the reviewers of this article wondered if technology could become smart enough to only guide users through the process. Could it be that the future our skills at explaining concepts, and the why and the when will become more important than the how. Now, I see this as a belief that the role will move from fixing problems to assisting users through decision making. The Kenefin model indicates that there are five decision making contexts. A complicated domain consists of known unknowns. The relationship between cause and effect requires analysis or expertise. There are a range of right answers. And in this type of situation, it may be that we need to describe good practice rather than best practice. Where a product enables the user to sense, analyze, and respond, then this may be the type of information, this could be what we need to do. It seems likely in the future that technical communicators will need to have skills that others don't have. So what skills will they need? Core skill is likely to be the ability to communicate clearly instructions on how to use a product or service. Developers are likely to still find it hard to place themselves in the user's shoes long enough to understand what it is that users don't know. There'll still be a need to explain technical information in a way that's understandable to those users that are unfamiliar with the product. We may need to worry less about it being findable, as software is likely to drive the delivery of personalized, context-aware content. This is likely to involve creating, again, as we've mentioned, structured, semantically marked content. Deadlines are likely to still exist, so time management skills, the ability to get the content written on time, is still likely to be a key skill. Technical writing is still likely to be difficult. According to Erica Hall, people are defined in an organization by the documents they produce. Ideally, we need to move away from that. We need to move from writing content to be read towards writing content to be interacted with. Many technical communicators today have to work across different functions, but with little authority over the staff members they interact with. Organizations will still think in terms of outputs. That is, technical writers write manuals, they write web pages, rather than process. It's likely that still will continue to be the case. And technical communicators will still need to manage and deal with technical debt. The need to manage and maintain legacy content will limit some organizations' capabilities to deliver the best content solution. Are we being too optimistic? Predictions about intelligent content have been around for years. Yet a great deal of content is still delivered today as PDFs. And the latest PDFs, responsive PDFs, may solve a lot of the limitations of them that are around today. I believe we'll see significant developments because content can give an organization a competitive edge. It's a key factor in Amazon's and Netflix's success. But how do we get from here to there? It can be hard to copy Amazon, Apple, and Netflix. But organizations may have no choice but to copy them if they're to survive. It means organizations and departments like tech pubs will need to take a design-led approach. Customer journey mapping will mean that technical publications will need to consider its value at each stage of the customer acquisition stages. How does your organization gain customers, and where would they benefit from personalized help content? Can you repurpose your technical documentation content? So to summarize, I believe people will still get stuck at times when they're using a product or service, and many of them will want to read text. As technical communicators, we'll need to have a better understanding of the user and their needs. And organizations will need to make greater effort to prevent users getting stuck. So what do you think? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Let us know. You can email us, info@cherryleaf.com. You can leave a voice message. We'll provide a link to a place on our website where you can push a green button and record your thoughts to us via audio. If you want more information, links to other information like this article, then why not subscribe to our newsletter? It helps people become better business and technical communicators. If you like our podcast, then please rate us on iTunes. And finally, if you want to get that documentation task off your to-do list and you need some input, some resource, some expertise in doing that, then you're welcome to contact us to discuss your needs, see if we can help you on that. Otherwise, thank you. Look forward to connecting with you via the next episode in the Cherryleaf podcast. Thank you for listening.